Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
And so if you got a copy of the scriptures with you, turn with me to John chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1 here in a moment. But John chapter 12, and we encourage people to bring your Bible to church or Bible apps. If you didn't bring one today, bring it next week. It'll be with us. And if you don't own a Bible and you want one, let us know. We'll give you a Bible absolutely free, and we'd love to bless you with that. But John chapter 12, verse 1, and kind of set up the passage that we're going to read and I'm going to preach from, I want to give you my title for my note takers, okay? And so you can jot this down if you'd like. But the title of this message, kind of leading into this passage, is The Woman at Dinner. The Woman at Dinner. John chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to read out of the NIV. And I just got to tell you, I got my preaching shoes on today, okay? So just hope you're ready to receive this preaching. John chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. I know I just started reading, but can we just pause for a second? Y'all know that sentence is not normal, right? Because y'all didn't respond to it. Like sometimes we can read without reading, you know what I'm saying? Like realize how epic that is. I love how John starts this. John's like, just another normal day with Jesus. You know, Jesus is there, and oh, by the way, his friend Lazarus is there, who he just raised from the dead. Like, that's what's happening here. Like, no big deal, but just another normal day with Jesus. Lazarus was dead, but now he's alive because of Jesus. Let's keep reading. Verse 2, they're at a dinner, and this dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So keep in mind, this is not cheap, like Axe body spray, okay? Like what every teenage boy like overuses, right? Like that's their shower in a can. This is not that, okay? Like this is actually expensive, top shelf perfume. And the house is filled with the fragrance. Verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas, who was later to betray him, he objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. We'll get to that later on. Verse 6. But he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Dun, dun, dun. He was a thief, and he was a keeper of the money bag, and he used to help himself with what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. I just love how Mary doesn't have to defend herself. Jesus defends her. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You always have the poor among you, but you'll not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. These are party crashers, verse 10. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Let's pray together. Jesus, we're so grateful and so thankful for what you've done in both of our services today. And I pray, God, that over the next few moments as we go through this true story from your holy word, I pray, God, that you'd highlight what you need to highlight, you'd show us what you want us to see. And God, I pray this word would not only go forth in power, but God, it would rest on our hearts and that our hearts would be fertile ground for your word to go into it as seed. And then, of course, for there to be fruit on the other side of this message, Lord. God, may you move in that kind of way. May we be receptive to hear, not what a man has to say, but what you have to say, God, through your holy word. We love you so much. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. As we just read, this is not an ordinary dinner party. Like, y'all realize that, right? Like, you got Jesus, and Jesus on his own is just incredible. Jesus did crazy stuff all the time. Like they had such a weird expectation of Jesus, that he would do things a certain way. And if you know the scriptures, if you know the gospels, so often he did what they least expected. Like, this is Jesus, the guy who walked on water, turned water into wine. I mean, this is Jesus, all right? So it's already awesome with him being there at this dinner party. But then you got some other interesting characters that show up, right? Like, you got the disciples. And I hope you know this. The disciples were like normal people like you and me, which means they had issues like you and me. If you're perfect, you're faking it, all right? Because we all got issues and we all got problems. We're not God. God is God. We got problems. And so the disciples, man, they had some issues. You got people there at this dinner party like Peter. And Peter was one of those guys, I can relate to Peter, that he would constantly put his foot in his mouth with what he said. Like, he would say the wrong thing all the time. And he was kind of like that eager beaver kind of person, which y'all know I can be that way too, right? Talks way too fast, too excited all the time. That's Peter. He's the guy that was cutting people's ears off, right, to try to protect Jesus. He's the guy that threw all the other disciples under the bus. Like, hey, they're going to turn their back on you, Jesus. I'll never do that. Like, this is Peter, and he's here at the party. You got other disciples like John that are here at the dinner party, and John is a character unto himself. John's the writer of this gospel. And John is one of those guys, like, we all know people like this, don't point if they came with you, okay? But John was one of those guys that loved to humble brag. Like loved to talk about himself in the third person. He does that a lot in this gospel account. John is the one that he was convinced that he was Jesus' favorite. That's how he talks about himself. The one whom Jesus loved. That's what he says over and over again. This is John. And then you've also got Martha, who's serving. Martha, Martha, Martha. You got Mary. There's something about Mary that she's at this dinner party. And then, of course, you've got the fake disciple, Judas. He's the villain in this true story. He's the one, the antagonist. He's the one that's coming against. He's the thief, right, padding his pockets, the one pretending to be so holy and so religious, but that's all outward appearance. On the inside, it's nasty and it's corrupt. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, this was no ordinary dinner party. There was drama built in. Like not everybody will get this reference, but that's okay. It's just for a few of us. Like, those that watch The Office, this is like the dinner party episode, my personal favorite, but even better, okay? Like, so much drama, so much intrigue. It's incredible what's happening, not just in the forefront, but behind the scenes in this story. And I love how the story starts here in John. Now, this true story, it's talked about in Matthew's gospel, in Mark's gospel, but in John's gospel, the reason why I chose this writing is because John gives us some more details that we don't get in the other gospel accounts of what's happening. And one of the first details that John gives us, we read it at the very beginning, verse 1, is that this was 6 days before the Passover. If you got a Bible that you can highlight stuff, underline, I would do that. I would circle it. I would put a star next to it. Because John gives us when this dinner party happens. And the when, W-H-E-N, is important. What's he say? 6 days before the Passover. I've taught you many times this summer in our summer playlist, mixtape series, going through the Psalms, I taught you many times that a few times a year, Jewish people would make a trek, a pilgrimage to the holy city of Jerusalem to worship God for these annual feasts or parties. And this happened all the time. And so people were traveling, Jews were traveling to Jerusalem. Here's why that's interesting. People, including Jesus, they were traveling there, but Jesus had a specific mission. See, if you know the Bible, you know this. You know that Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going there to die on the cross. He's going there to raise from the dead. That context, that timing is really important that you get that. That's just days away, this death and resurrection of Jesus. But John also tells us in the previous chapter, John chapter 11, that there was another big event that happened before this dinner party. You see, right before this, Lazarus was raised from the dead. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. This dinner party is wedged between two different resurrections. Jesus resurrecting his friend, Lazarus, and then Jesus himself that would die on the cross soon after this and be resurrected himself. This is an important party. This is a big deal. Like I don't even know. Maybe even Lazarus still had a little bit of that dead person smell on him. Like, maybe. Right? Like, I don't know what a dead person smells like, but hopefully you don't either, right? But like maybe it was still there. I don't know. So this is right in the middle of those two resurrections. And the dinner party, it is popping, y'all. Like, they are having a good time. It's incredible. They're celebrating. They're laughing. They're eating good food. I mean, if it was based in Houston, it would be mud bugs and glass bottle Cokes. I mean, just fingers, just all, just licking. I mean, just amazing, right? It would just be incredible. Awesome. They're having a great time. But then all of a sudden, Mary has this realization that the party is not enough to honor Jesus. Remember, the party, the whole point was to honor Jesus. And Mary's like, it's not enough. I've got to show Jesus my devotion. Bible scholars will tell you that's the reason why this story is recorded in the Bible, shows Mary's devotion to Jesus. And obviously we can learn from that, and we will today. But Mary's like, it's not enough. I got to do something extravagant. And doesn't she do that? What does she do? She goes and she grabs the expensive bottle of pure nard. And you're like, what in the world was that? I'll tell you. If you're taking notes, jot down some of these thoughts. But pure nard was an expensive perfume. And the reason why it was expensive is because it was imported from India. And y'all remember, like, they didn't have truckers back then where they could get them to dry. Like, it was a hard process to get that in. But not just that. Pure nard was extracted from a root there in India. And so it was a painstaking process, not just to get the fragrance, but to have it potent enough where, you remember what we read? It would fill the whole room as well. So that's why it was expensive. And thankfully, through John's gospel here, we find out just how expensive it was. What did he say? It says that it was a year's salary. How many of y'all know that's a big offering to God? We got some people in the church that, man, you've sacrificed and you've done so much for God throughout the years, but I don't know if any of us could say that at one time, in one moment, we gave God a year's worth of salary. Like, I don't care whether you make $20,000 a year or $200,000 a year is a year, right? And that's a lot of hard work. I know you work hard. That's a lot of hard work. And she breaks it. We find that out in the other gospel accounts. She breaks it over Jesus's head. It flows down on his clothes and then onto his feet where she's at. And that's interesting in and amongst itself. Not just the extravagance of her worship, her devotion to God, not just the value and the cost associated with it, but the location she's at is very, very important. She's at Jesus's feet. And here's what you need to know. This Mary, the Mary we're talking about, which is not Mary, the mother of Jesus, by the way, the Mary we're talking about, which is not Mary Magdalene, this Mary, there's only three times that she's talked about in the Bible. One, two, three. And can I tell you, this is so powerful, that every single time she is mentioned in the Bible, she's at the exact same location, and it's always at the feet of Jesus. Man, I gotta tell you, God couldn't say anything better about you or me if that every time he mentions our location, we were postured at the feet of Jesus. Can I get a good amen on a Sunday morning? Three times she's mentioned, and she's at the feet of Jesus. She was at the feet of Jesus to learn in Luke chapter 10, verse 39. She was at his feet when her life was falling apart, John chapter 11, verse 32. And here she was at his feet in worship. I wonder, what's your posture in relationship to Jesus? Are you living your life in such a way that it's almost like he's got to be at your feet? Do this for me, Jesus. Bless me in this way. Jesus. I want that job, Jesus. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And you almost live your life in such a way where you're asking Jesus without really asking him to be at your feet. Can I tell you that is screwed up and that is backwards? We should be at his feet. He is God and we are not. And Mary understood this. Not only did she have this great gift for God, but her posture says everything. I could preach a whole message on that, but I don't have time. Let's keep going. So Mary, she pours out this expensive perfume on Jesus in worship, in devotion, in thanksgiving. And what happens in the text? Instantly, the hater comes out, right? All of a sudden, you hear from Judas. And what does Judas say? Man, I got to tell you, by the way, sometimes like I can relate with Judas in this passage more than Mary. You know what happens in the story is we always make ourselves like the hero, right? Oh yeah, I'm Mary. That's me. Always at the feet of Jesus, but really we're living kind of more like Judas. And if I was honest, I know I'm a pastor, but I'm not perfect. Sometimes I can be like Judas and be the critic and the skeptic. And what does Judas do? Judas crosses his arms, I'm sure, and he's like, give me a break. You could have sold that and given money to the poor. I can't, but do you see what this woman did? He is so upset. Like he is angry and he's acting like it's righteous anger, but it's not. He's religious. Can we just be real in church? Goodness gracious. Like wear your mask if you want to, but take off the Christian mask we put on, okay? Like, stop pretending like you're Mary if you're really Judas. Oh, I can't believe that church did that. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe they did that for the kids. What are they going to do for us adults? When are we going to get our back-to-school bash, you know? Like, I want it inflatable outside. But, like, we just oh, cross our arms. And, oh, I can't believe. Like, we're just great, you know? Like that's what Judas is doing. And it's all a show. He doesn't care about the poor. He's stealing from the money bag. What he's mad about is that he can't get rich off other people's sacrifice anymore because she broke it over Jesus. Man, that's still happening today. Judging everybody's act of worship. I can't believe they do that. I can't believe they serve. You know, they don't get paid anything. I can't believe they volunteer. When's the last time they got recognized? When's the last time they got 5 minutes on the microphone? Like, when's the last, like, I cannot believe you gave money to that church. Oh, you did this. Oh, are you serious? Right? We got all these people acting like they're righteous. And oh my goodness, I am the judge and I'm the juror when really maybe there's an issue on the inside. And we're projecting what's happening within. I've told you many times, our sin always looks uglier on someone else. And what we do is we make excuses, and what we do is we make compromises to try to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. And really, we see in this passage, and this is kind of how I read it, we see kind of like two different perspectives of the same act of devotion, right? Like one act of devotion and worship. So we've got Mary's perspective, of course, but really I feel like it's compared with Judas's perspective. It's just like this message, like there's more than two perspectives, like oh man, God's speaking to me, or oh, I'm not getting anything, right? Like these different perspectives, same scenario, that's what's happening here. And of course, we want to be Mary, and we want to do what she did, but sometimes even myself, I can be more like Judas. Here's the perspectives. I think it's so fascinating. Like on one hand, you have Mary, her perspective, and she was truly following Jesus, right? Like she was at his feet, she was truly following him. But then Judas's perspective, he was fake following Jesus. Like everybody from the outside would be like, man, he's one of the 12. Oh man, he's really committed. He was there at that miracle and that feeding of that many people. Yeah. He's doing great, but he was faking it. He was hypocritical. Mary was following. Judas was pretending to follow, faking it. On one hand, again, two different perspectives. You have Mary, who understood the importance of having a relationship with Jesus at his feet. She knew that Jesus wants to be our close friend. But then you have Judas, who was just religious. You have Mary, that had no limit on her worship. And then you had Judas, who did have limits. And that one hits home, I think, for many of us. Because don't we sometimes put limits on our worship? Hey, you know, I went to church last week, so I'm going to take this week off. Like, hey, man, I gave in that offering last time, so I'm going to take this one off. You know, I'll give some, but I won't give everything. You know what? I'll serve on serve day because it's one time a year, but they better not ask me to serve every other week because I ain't doing it, right? There's limits. Judas had limits, I wonder, do you? But Mary didn't. Mary was like, no. I'll do anything for Jesus. I'll show him my devotion. I'm all in. Mary was glad to sacrifice much for God. And then Judas was upset, but it was all because he couldn't pad his pockets. Two different perspectives. And again, I just wonder out loud, just a question. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at the Bible, okay? Like, just a question. Which view do you have? How do you see acts of worship? And it could be a million different things. It's not just money like it is in this message, in this story. It could be anything. Any act of worship, any act of devotion. Which perspective do you have? I'll tell you this. From Mary's perspective, and more importantly, from Jesus' perspective, we can learn something valuable. I think this is the reason why this story is in the Bible. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Big thought, big idea, sermon in a sentence. That worshiping God is never wasteful. Like, would you receive that today from the Lord? Again, it's not just money. It could be anything. Any way that you show your devotion to Jesus. It could be putting Jesus first and not second in your relationships. Married people, your spouse should not be first in your life. Like, God should be first in your life. People with kids, this is a huge one. Your kids, tell them today from Pastor Ryan's lips to your ears. Your kids, the pastor told me, gotta tell you, your kids should not be first. God should be first in your life. It could go a million different ways. Allow the Holy Spirit to connect the dots for you personally, okay? He does a way better job than I could ever do of that. But worship, worshiping God, whatever it looks like, it's never wasteful. It's never a waste. Make it personal. What does that look like for you? Anytime you show devotion to Jesus, it's not wasted. Anytime you worship despite the pain, it's not wasted. Anytime you show up when you could have easily stayed home, it's not wasted. Anytime you put God first, it's not wasted. Now, Judas disapproved, but who approved of her worship? Jesus. So can I tell you something? I told first service too, and maybe you won't love me anymore. I hope you will. But like, can I tell you something? I don't do this for you. Somebody's like, well, I'm leaving then. Because I want you to take care of my needs and be there for me. And I just tell, I love you. I really do. I'm so glad to be back, man. I'm telling you. 1 week, I'm ready. But like, I don't do this for you. I do it for Jesus. I do it whether you're here or not. I'm glad you're here. I remember COVID and all that stuff, and I know it's still rearing its ugly head and still, you know, variants upon variants. I get all that, but I remember we didn't have physical, like, in person, and it's not fun preaching to just a camera, okay? It's like, I'm glad you're here, but I just need to be honest with you. Like, I don't do this for you. I do this for Jesus. Worshiping God is not about us trying to get the applause of man. Worshiping God, can you hear me loud and clear, should be about worshiping God. We don't do it for other people, because that's going to come and go. Y'all know this. People will cheer you one day in our culture, and they'll want you killed the next day. I can tell you as a pastor, I got people that are like, oh, I love you, pastor. And then the next day, they're gone, man. Like, no, I'm just so mad. Like, we don't do it for people. We do it for Jesus. So stop deciding of how much devotion you have for God based on mere humans. Instead, realize, like Mary did, that Jesus is worth anything and everything, and that it's an honor to break it out and pour it upon him and sit at his feet. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, whole message just led to this moment. If this is the first time you've heard this story, some of you, it's the very first time. Or maybe for others, it's the first time you've gone like this deep into the story, just going through verse by verse and really pulling out everything. If you're in one of those camps, here's the question you're asking yourself. I know. You're asking yourself this. Why did she feel so compelled, Mary, to give that much? That's extreme. To work for a year and like give it all to Jesus in a moment. Some of us, we'd be like trying to get a sponge and like soaking up the rest right afterwards. Like why, right? If you're new to this story or at least in this depth, you're like, why? And if that's you, I'll tell you why. So important. The reason why is that Lazarus is Mary's brother. That's why. Think about this. Mary's brother was dead in the grave. And now he's alive because of Jesus. Wouldn't you do something extravagant for God if your brother was dead and now he's alive? I know I would. Like, would anything be too high of a cost? Would anything, any price be too steep? No. You'd give yourself everything. Can I tell you, friend? Jesus has resurrected you. Not just your brother. You. We all deserve death, hell, and the grave. Every single one of us. But because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, because of his resurrection, we have experienced a personal resurrection. So if that's the case, it is for those that believe and have given your life to Jesus. If that's the case, then no cost is too high. No party is good enough. That you would give everything to him because he's already given everything to you. Do you see the importance, the significance of this? That when Jesus has changed your life, you can't help but worship him. And even though people are going to hate it, can I tell you, people question me so much. Every little decision, why'd you do this? And I'm telling you, personal, past, like that's what I signed up for. Don't feel sorry for me. It just is what it is. But remember, I'm not doing it for people. People get questioned so much about me. Like why did he move his family to Houston? Like my wife, she was 9 months pregnant when we moved. Already had one. We've got three now. Like, why would you do that, Pastor? Like, why would you give your money? Like, why would you devote your life? Like, why? Why? People are questioning me, and guess what? I know they're questioning you. Our culture's like, man, just be your own God. You know, whatever you feel, it's gonna be good. You know, just you believe what you believe. I'm gonna believe what I believe. Like, let's all just sing Kumbaya, you know, and just make sure. No, I get it. It's not easy to live for Jesus anymore. It's been like that in so many other countries for a long time, and it's still a lot harder, by the way. A lot of countries, you can't gather like this. It's got to be in secret. But I get it. It's more challenging now in the cancel culture and everything that's happening. But who cares? You're not doing it for people. You're doing it for Jesus. Because he has set you free, why would you hold back? Instead, you should pour it all out for him. That's devotion. And by the way, for those that think I'm not about to like take up some special offering, okay? Like this isn't like, because we got some Judases here, right? Like, oh no, I know. He about to go on a bigger vacation next week, I know. No. Just normal everyday Sunday. Like, it ain't as special this Sunday. Like, I'm just telling you. It's not about the finances, it's the devotion. Yes, that's one way you show God devotion. Yes, of course. But it's not the only way. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict and do what he does to show you where you may be out of line. Worshiping God is never wasteful. Every time you show up, it's not a waste. Every time you lift your hands and sing your heart out to God, it's not a waste. Every time that you pray, even though the miracle hasn't happened yet, but you're still believing for the miracle, it's not a waste. Every time that you serve and maybe you don't get the recognition, like it's never a waste. I'm telling you, friend, anytime we worship God, it's another opportunity to say, God, you've done so much for me that I can't help but lay it all down. God, you've been so good to me. We got people in this room that God has healed you physically. God's been good to you. We got people in this room that God gave you that miracle baby. God's been good to you. We got people in this room that you were struggling with COVID for so long and God has healed you and you've overcome. God's been good to you. We got people in this room like me that you were a screw up. Y'all know I didn't like grow up in some like pastor school, right? Like bubble. Like I got issues and like things I've gone, like y'all know that, right? You're like, yes, we know that because we can see it. Yeah. It's the truth. Man, God has set me free from so much. Going to relationships, but before I married my beautiful wife and really in my teenage years, just going to relationships to try to fill a void and going to substances to try to make me feel better. Y'all know that's just a little masking agent. It's temporary, but doesn't last. And all this stuff, like I can't save myself. And so I stand up here today and I'm like, man, God, you are so good. I would have been last pick to be a pastor. Like, God, you are so, it's only because of you and because he's done so much for me. Because he's been so good to me, I can't help but lay it all down. And really what you realize is it's not a sacrifice. It's a joy. Mary didn't regret breaking that out upon Jesus. What did Jesus say? Some Bible scholars even think that Mary knew that Jesus was about to go to the cross. Jesus even makes that comment, right? Like she's anointing me for burial because pure nard was used for that when someone would pass away. So maybe, just maybe, like she knew with the disciples. Y'all know he told the disciples over and over again, I'm going to go to the cross. Hey, huddle up. I'm going to go to the cross. And like they still didn't get it. And then here's Mary, that maybe she even realized what the disciples didn't realize. It's amazing. So what are you saying? The story about the woman at dinner, this story about Mary is not just her story, it's our story. I want to give you one more thought, if you'll allow me, then we'll pray. And you don't have to allow me, I'm going to do it anyways, just being real. But I just think this is cool. I just think that's kind of sums up everything. As I told you earlier, Matthew and Mark, they have this same true story. It's a little bit different perspective, same story though. And in Matthew and Mark's account of this story, Jesus has like this really cool line at the end of it. And if you know the Bible, you know what I'm about to say. But Jesus says this, it doesn't come up in John, but Matthew, Mark. Jesus says this, truly I tell you, that what this woman has done, Mary, it's going to be repeated throughout history everywhere that the gospel is preached in memory of her. You look it up, Matthew and Mark, it says that. What she's done, this crazy act of worship and devotion, it's going to be remembered in everywhere that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, everywhere that it's preached, Jesus prophesies. Her story is going to be told too. Here's why that's really cool to me, and I think it'll be cool to you, is that us going through this passage today, we're actually a part a fulfilled prophecy from Jesus. Like, isn't that great? That's like amazing. Like, no big deal, Christ's covenant, but we're just making history today. Like, think about that, though. That's for me, that is kind of like sealed the whole thing. Like, man, yes. Jesus prophesied what would happen years and years later today at Christ's covenant. Like we're a part of fulfilled prophecy with what Jesus said. Jesus highlights the importance of her devotion. And I wonder, could he say the same thing for us? Are we devoted? Are we committed? Will we place limits on our worship to Jesus? Or will we lay it all out because he's already laid it all out for us? Worship is never wasted. Pray. Jesus, thank you for your powerful word. God, your word is so anointed. Just even reading it, there's just so much power. Thank you, God, for the Bible. Thank you for making sure stories like this were recorded so that we could take a deep dive into powerful scripture. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be more like Mary and not like Judas. To not be religious, but to be all about a relationship with you. To not fake follow you, where everybody thinks we're so holy on the outside and we're the judge and the jury with everybody and we're the ones that say whether it was a good thing to do or not, but instead that we would be humble like Mary and we would be at your feet. Really, you couldn't say anything better of your followers, that we were at your feet, learning times of need and worship. And I pray, God, that for anybody underneath the sound of my voice, those in the room, those online that are far from you, I pray, God, that they would hear you right now calling them home, calling them to faith, calling them to put their trust in you and you alone. Jesus, you are real and you are God. You're the only one that can save us. You're the only one that can help us, cause us to experience a personal resurrection, going from death to life. It's only you. Keep your eyes closed with me, friend, in the room, online, if you're able to. But hear me, today is your day of salvation if you're far from God. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. God's speaking to you now. But hey, it's time you get right with me. It's time you lay down your life, that you surrender, that you accept my free gift of salvation. If you've never committed your life to Jesus, friend, or maybe you just feel like you want to make a fresh commitment, I want to coach you in that prayer. See, another place in the Bible, it's in the New Testament as well, but another book, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, tells us this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So God just makes it really clear of how you surrender, of how you commit your life to him. So right now you can do that. It's about confession and belief. So I want to coach you in that, but it's important that you talk to Jesus. You can whisper to him, Jesus, I confess that you are God, that you are real. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. So I ask you to forgive me of my sin. If you ask him that, friend, he's faithful to answer that. God, please forgive us of our sin. Make us new. Wipe the slate clean in our heart. Jesus, we confess and we believe. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to live devoted lives for you. Not place limits on our worship and the specific way you're speaking to us now to go all in, to give you everything. You've been so good to us. Thank you, God, for those that are committing their life to you. Thank you, God, for the personal resurrections that are happening right now in this moment. We love you so much, and it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.